The concept of hell, as we understand it today, does not have biblical origins. Hey everybody, I'm Dan McClellan. I'm a scholar of the Bible and religion. And if you look throughout a translation like the King James Version, the word hell occurs across the Old and New Testaments. But it is a rendering of multiple different words. In the Old Testament, it's always the same Hebrew word, Sheol. And the word Sheol does not refer to the conceptual package that we understand today as hell. It actually just refers to the abode of all the dead, because they had an entirely different conceptual package about the afterlife back then. In ancient Israel and Judah, everybody went to the same place, righteous, wicked, or somewhere in between. And they didn't have a real clear idea of what that place was going to be like, but what is pretty consistent is that nobody looked forward to it. It seemed to have been understood as a kind of dreary existence that also ran a bunch of risks associated with entities that might be occupying the underworld, the Yadayim, the Rephaim, maybe even the Nephilim. But based on burial goods, it seems that the living anticipated that the deceased needed access to light and to food and to water. And based on what we can reconstruct about ancestor worship from those material remains, it also seems that the deceased had things to offer the living, and particularly access to strategic information, blessings, curses, things like that. But again, what is consistent is that nobody looked forward to the afterlife. It was a dreary, dull existence. And this doesn't really begin to change until oppression and persecution begins to force Judahites to wonder where God's justice is going to be realized. Because Judahites and later Judeans and Jewish folks were experiencing an awful lot of oppression at the hands of larger empires like Assyria, like Babylon, Persia, and then the Hellenistic empires. And in all of this, they're seeing a lot of their own people, whom they consider righteous, suffering and dying without seeing God's justice. And they're also seeing an awful lot of wicked people who are responsible for the oppression and the persecution and the suffering not experiencing God's judgment. So this results in the wisdom literature that is contemplating the problem of evil and where God's justice is. And so we see this in Ecclesiastes, we see this in Job, we see this sometimes in the Psalms. And it's also getting explored by Greco-Roman period Jewish authors who are writing texts that would not end up in the Bible, like the texts of 1st Enoch, where they begin to develop ideas about post-mortem divine punishment and post-mortem divine reward. Maybe it is after death that God's justice is being realized. And so initially, they were coming up with ideas about these wicked angels based on Genesis 6 that introduced evil into the world. And they're the group that is experiencing the tip of the sword of God's post-mortem divine punishment. But there are also humans that are getting punished as well. And we have one part of the Book of Enoch that talks about these smooth places where people are gathered to wait for judgment. And depending on your comportment in life, you would go to one of these different places. And there's even this idea that if you were evil in life, but you received some kind of divine judgment, you went to one place, whereas if you were evil but did not receive divine judgment in life, you went to another place. So there are a lot of different ways that these authors are exploring the idea of post-mortem divine punishment. And it's not all consistent. And by the time we get to the New Testament, we have three different kind of general categories of post-mortem divine punishment. One is just annihilationism. If you're wicked, upon death, you are destroyed, you cease to exist. Another is temporary conscious torment followed either by annihilation or salvation. You are punished and then you cease to exist, or your punishment pays the fine and then you go on to salvation. And then the last category is the eternal conscious torment. And these three categories bubble to the surface in a variety of different ways in different parts of the New Testament. And we see all three of them in the Gospels. We don't see any references to hell in Paul. We see some other folks referring to them, particularly in the book of Revelation. But there are three Greek words in the New Testament that are used. One is Hades, which is clearly a borrowing from Greek religion, where Hades, like Sheol, was the general abode of the dead. And then you've got this other word, Tartarus, that only occurs once, that was the place where the wicked went to be punished. And then the third was Gehenna, which is a Greek transliteration of the Hebrew Gehenna or Valley of Hinnom. And this is the traditional Jewish idea of this valley that ran around the southern end of Jerusalem being associated with wickedness, because this is supposed to be the valley where the Tophet was, and that was the place where kings offered child sacrifice and things like that. And for a long time, there's been this idea that this was a perpetually burning landfill and somewhere where the bodies of criminals were tossed to be burnt and things like that. And there are absolutely no data that support that. That is something that someone made up. But what we do see is this valley, which was associated with wickedness, which was associated with child sacrifice, being conceptually associated with a place of punishment, kind of an eschatological place of punishment. So you see in the very last verse of Isaiah, for instance, this idea of a fire not being quenched and the worm not dying. And this is related to stuff that we see going on in First Enoch as well. And the idea is that there are constantly bodies being heaped into this eschatological place of judgment, and so the fire always has fuel and the worms always have food. But that would later be reinterpreted to mean the fire never goes out and the worms never stop chewing on you. In other words, it's an eternal punishment. But there's no one idea of hell in the New Testament. It's not until after the New Testament that readers are looking back on the New Testament and trying to harmonize it all because they're looking at a single collection of texts and they want it to speak with one single unified and consistent voice, that we see the idea of eternal conscious torment slowly taking center stage and becoming the main idea of hell. And this gets further developed, particularly in the medieval period, with some Italian literature that was very famous that developed a lot of imagery about what hell was like. But to summarize up to this point, the idea of hell develops in Greco-Roman period Jewish literature that would not be included in the later developed biblical canon. And the different ideas about hell were taken up in the New Testament, but this did not shake out into one single idea of hell until later Christians began to harmonize everything, impose that presupposition of univocality to come up with one single principle about post-mortem divine punishment, which ultimately was focused on eternal conscious torment because that was one of the most horrifying things that people could think about, which became a pretty good motivator for folks who wanted to leverage that threat to try to influence behavior. So when people talk about hell today, and particularly when people use hell as a threat or as a means of trying to incentivize certain behavior, they're using something that developed primarily outside of the Bible and primarily as a means of trying to structure values and power and boundaries. So again, our concept of hell today does not have biblical origins. It was primarily developed by authors who were not writing biblical literature, who were trying to rationalize where God's judgment was, and then by Christian leaders who were trying to synthesize an inconsistent notion of the afterlife in a way that made it easier for them to leverage the threat of hell to control behavior. And the fit for this video has been the Spawn 200 cover.